opportunity to come. Pray for your pastor. He is a blessing to me, and I've had the privilege of being in a few different meetings with him, whether it's a pastor's fellowship or a tent meeting a couple times. And, you know, you'd be surprised at how many churches do not have God's man as a pastor. And you're blessed. Thank God for him. Pray for him. And I'm sure he remembers to turn his mic on when he first gets up here instead of when the sound man waves at him. So, take your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start there. We'll turn to a few different places. Again, we're trying to take an entire conference and put it into one day, into three messages. I told you this morning I wasn't really looking at taking one subject and preaching a whole message on it. That was this morning. This evening we're going to look at really one thing and explore it and just take different views of it and use it to help us. Because here's the thing. Let me just give a review over the day just to make this point. In Sunday school this morning, for those of you who were not in here, and for those of you who were in here like myself and sometimes need a refresher, amen, we talk about faith and victory and their effect on mission. And faith is hearing, believing, and then acting on the Word of God. You can hear it all you want. You can believe it all you want. But unless you act upon the Word of God, you're not living by faith. And if you're not living by faith, you will not step out when God says step out. And when you do not step out when God says step out, you miss out on extraordinary things. Victory. We realize that victory has already been given to us. It dwells inside of us as a child of God through Jesus Christ. And we access that by the same faith, not of how we feel, not of how what we're going through, but based upon God's work. And when we realize we're victorious in Christ and we're not defeated, we're not sinners but saints, we're not unrighteous anymore but righteous in Christ, we will have the desire to share that with a lost and needy world. And then I like what you said earlier, someone said the 11 o'clock hour is at 10:45. And this morning when I was asking, and I thought that was pretty cool, amen. But in that hour, we talk about how badly do you want to get people saved? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to give your life and see God do something with you that you could never do in and of yourself? Now, the key to all that, whether it's going, whether it's giving, listen, sometimes it's getting involved in a ministry in the local church. Sometimes it's starting a ministry or a Bible study. And sometimes it's, you plug your situation and God can deal with you about anything and everything. But the key to going and giving and making all of this work is very simply, obey God. Obey God. If we don't obey God, we're not going to give what He tells us to give. If we don't obey God, we're not going to go where He tells us to go. If we don't obey God, we're not going to do what He tells us to do. You see what Brother's saying? We have a hard enough time following the commands about living holy, the Christian life we're supposed to live. How am I supposed to make sure I obey Him in going and giving? Well, what we need to understand is that's not extra. That's part of the Christian life we're already supposed to be living. So with that in mind, and we realize we're just to obey God, how do we do that? How do we do that? Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1 this evening. Paul says, I therefore, Paul writing, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now notice verse number 7. This is our text verse. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The title of the message this evening is Grace Conquering Christ's Commands. Grace Conquering Christ's Commands. Pray with me. I'll give you these thoughts. Father, Holy Ghost, we come to you as a needy people, in need of your mercy, in need of your grace, in need of your teaching, in need of your power tonight. So I pray you would fill us, do only what you can do. Help us to get out of the way and yield to you in our hearts tonight. Keep us humble but confident before you. And God, I pray that when we're all done here this evening, when you, Holy Ghost, are finished in with hearts, that decisions will be made, that we would see a sinner brought into heaven through salvation, that we would see someone surrendered to the mission field, someone surrendered to whatever you're dealing with them about, and that we would be more willing to allow you to live your life through us just a little bit more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace conquering Christ's commands. Now, this is almost like faith this morning in Sunday school. What is the definition of grace? And there's multiple definitions of grace. We hear that grace is unmerited favor. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Some would say grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I like to think of grace as God just looks down and smiles on you. Amen. I like when God just looks down and smiles on me. But tonight, the definition for grace I'm going to give you, it's really just two words. And then I'm going to define those two words for you. The grace, the definition for tonight, and again, this is as a important and just as equal definition of grace as any other. The grace is spirit enablement. Spirit enablement. What is that? It is God the Holy Ghost giving us what we need to do what God has called us to do. God the Holy Ghost giving us what we need so that we can do what God has called us to do. Listen, if we do not have grace, we cannot go, we cannot give, we cannot do, we cannot obey without grace. Spirit enablement. Or may I say this, with the help of the Holy Ghost. Remember Jesus, John chapter 14, He told His disciples, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, I will pray to the Father, and He will send forth another comforter. Jesus said, it's better for you that I ascend to the Father. Because when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to pray, and He's going to send the comforter. That word comforter literally means help. So Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father, I'm going to pray to the Father, and the Father is going to send you the help. Jesus also, right before He ascended into the heaven, was meeting with the disciples. And it tells in John 20 that He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I am not a very educated man. I do not know really how to explain this to you, but in the original translations, okay, the word "the" does not exist. They put it in there to let it make sense for us. And what Jesus was literally saying was, "Receive Holy Spirit." Receive Holy Spiritness. What is that? The help of the Holy Ghost. Grace so that you can do what He's asked you to do. There's all kinds of different graces in the Bible. There's saving grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. There's teaching grace. The Bible talks about helping grace in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. There's abundant grace, but here it's just serving grace. Grace of the Holy Ghost. The help that we need to do what God has called us to do. Let's look at three things about this grace. I'll give you, Lord willing, two illustrations, and we will go and allow the Lord to deal with our hearts. Number one, I want you to notice the spirit of this grace. The spirit of this grace. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. I'm going to do something I have not had you do all day, and that's turn to a couple different passages. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. First, I want you to notice what the Spirit is not. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear will make you stay when God says go. Fear will hold you back from surrendering when God says, give this part of your life to me. Fear will have you commit a different number to missions than the amount that God has told you to give. Fear will keep you from walking across the store and handing someone a gospel tract. Fear will keep you from coming to church. It is not of God. The Bible says in some form or fashion of the phrase, 365 times, do not fear. Jesus Himself said, be not afraid. When God gives us a command and our response is fear, we need to realize that that is not God's response. That is not grace reacting through us. So we need to do what's needed to remove fear. Now listen, I'm not, I'm not talking about throwing out wisdom, okay? It's wise to be careful and to use some tact and to avoid certain situations. That's not what I'm saying. But when it's a fear of, what would they do to me? What would they say? Will I get embarrassed? But if you think about it, that kind of fear, all stems from pride. And pride and fear will keep you from fulfilling God's command more than anything. So it's not the spirit of fear. But what is it? Letter A, it's a spirit of power. A spirit of power. This means we can do it. It's the works. It's what we have to do. To get it accomplished. A spirit of power. Listen, if we don't have any power, we're not going to get anything done. If we don't have the touch of God in our lives, if the touch of God is not in our church, if the touch of God is not in your ministry, if the touch of God is not in every area of your life, you fall short. The spirit of power, we can do it. But it also says this, letter B, it's a spirit of love. The spirit of power says we can do it. It's the work. It's what we have to do. The spirit of love makes it worthwhile. Because without love, it is empty. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you read through the first 8 verses, and Paul goes through and talks about prophesying. He even talks about those who are living by faith. He talks about those who are suffering. He talks about those who are giving. He talks about those who are preaching. And he says if they do all of that and they don't have love, they've missed. It's in vain. It's useless. Love makes the difference. So we realize that the Spirit of this grace, the Holy Ghost, helping us, gives us the power to get the job done. He gives us the spirit of love so that it makes it worthwhile. And then it says the spirit of a sound mind. Wisdom. Jesus Himself said to be wise as serpent and harmless as dove. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. With all thy getting, get wisdom and understanding, Proverbs. The spirit of this grace, the spirit of power, we can do what He's told us. We can make it worthwhile because Christ will love through us. And we can have a sound mind, wisdom to do it the right way, the best way. Number two, notice the significance of this grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. Grace, the conquering Christ commands the spirit of this grace. We can do it. The significance of this grace. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. So we're not going to be moved. We're not going to be shaken. We're standing on a firm foundation. And because of that, let us have grace. Let us have what? Spirit enabled. Let us have the help of the Holy Ghost. Let us have the Holy Ghost give us what we need to do what God has called us to do. Why? Whereby we may serve God. The significance of this grace is to serve God. But in what way? How does it make it significant? Number one, or letter A for point number two, whereby we may serve God acceptably. Serve Him. That word acceptably means agreeably or be well pleasing unto the Lord or making God approve of us. That word approve, when someone mentions that word, usually our minds go to 2 Timothy 2:15 where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Be approved of God. Serve Him acceptably. By the way, it also means to be well-pleasing. And we found out this morning that without faith, it is impossible to please. Isn't it amazing how everything with God kind of connects? But being accepted, being approved of by God. Not only does it say serve Him acceptably, it says with reverence. We need to serve Him reverently. That word reverence means to in awe or shamefaced. Psalms chapter 4, verse number 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. Shamefacedness in the book of Jeremiah, or the prophet deals with the people that have lost their blush. Nothing bothered them. Nothing made them uncomfortable. There was no innocence about them. Serve Him reverently. Shamefaced, realize you. We need to keep our hands and heart clean, serving the Lord. Why? Because we're going to do it reverently. And then it says, serve Him godly. Now, time out for a moment, because if you're like me, when I ever asked a question, what does reverence mean? The answer was not Jesus. Okay? Like in Sunday school, for those of you who were here earlier. All right, the answer was not Jesus. What does it mean? To be, what is it, reverent? And you know what the answer was? It means to fear God. You say, well, what does it mean to fear God? Which is different than obviously being afraid. So what does it mean to fear God? And they say, well, it means to have reverence for. And one was the answer to the other. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, they're two different things. Reverent and godly fear. So somehow, there needs to be a distinction. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, I am not well educated. And so I had to go and read and think and meditate. And this is the best I can come up with. If you have something better, share with me after the service. I'll put it in my notes. Serve Him reverently means in awe or with shamefacedness. Serve Him in godly fear. This phrase, godly fear, in this verse means with caution. Or better said, carefully. Or doing your very best, knowing who it is you're serving. So the reverently was an innocent. We're trying to keep yourself pure because of who He is. But now in godly fear, we're doing it carefully because of who He is. It's not just about keeping our heart, our hands, and our minds clean. It's about doing it the way He said it. Do you ever notice people a lot of times, well, God tells them to do something and they'll do what God says their way. Let me give you something. This is free, okay? It's not in the notes. It wasn't in what I was going to say, but the Holy Ghost jumped this rabbit. We're going to chase it. Okay, here we go. God's way, or God's plan, your way, and your time is not the will of God. God's plan, your way, at your time, is not the will of God. God's plan, God's way, at your time, is not the will of God. God's way, God's plan, God's way, God's time. Godly people, realizing who He is. So we're going to do our very best. The Bible talks about whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it mightily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Do it with thy might. Do your very best. Godly fear. The only way we can serve Him acceptably, where we're well-pleasing unto Him. The only way we can serve Him reverently, in awe and innocence. The only way we can serve Him in godly fear, where we're doing our very best because of who He is. In verse 28 it says, let us have grace. The only way to serve the Lord is noticing the significance of this. We must have the Holy. Well, Brother Zane, we have the Holy Ghost. He's in us and He's with us. I'm glad you pointed that out. Here we go. And we'll make it a little harder. We must yield to the Holy Ghost. James chapter 4, verse number 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That word submit, when you start looking in the Greek, it comes from one of the root words for that word submit actually means to be addicted to. We're to be addicted to letting God have His way in our lives. Give way to the Holy Ghost. Give way to that grace. So the spirit of this grace, power, love, sound mind, the significance of this grace, acceptably, reverently, godly fear. Now I want you to notice the sufficiency of this grace. The sufficiency of this grace. And this is where it all comes in. This is the reason we can do. This is the reason we can go. This is the reason we can give. Romans, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 9. And He, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In our text verse of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, but unto every one of us, that's you and me, is given grace, the help of the Holy Ghost, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, His grace is sufficient. Here's what that means. Whatever God tells you to do, He's given you the exact amount of grace you need. Whatever God wants you to give, He's given you the exact amount of grace you need to give. Wherever He's told you to go, whatever He's putting you through, He has given you the exact amount of grace that you need. His grace is sufficient. The Bible does not say it might be. It does not say it could be. It does not say maybe. No. It does not say I will. It says my grace is. That is in the now. Listen, child of God, whatever you're facing, let me get off the mission part of it here for a moment. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, what trials you might be facing, what storms you're sailing through, but let me tell you this, child of God, the grace of God is the exact amount according to what you're going through. That's fine. That area that God's been dealing with you about today, surrendering to missions in some form or fashion, He's giving you the grace to surrender that area of your life. My grace is sufficient. It's according to our calling, and it's always the right amount. But here's what I like. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10 says, the God of all grace. That means He's given us sufficient grace. Imagine, if you would, a glass, and that glass is our life. It's what we're facing. It's what we're going through. It's the calling of God. And God's got this picture of grace, and He pours it out and fills that grace, that cup to the rim. It's sufficient. It's the exact amount that's needed. But the Bible says that He's the God of all grace, which means that picture has a steady supply. Not only is He the God of all grace, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that He's able to make all grace abound to you. Which means when He fills your cup to the rim with sufficient grace, exactly what you need, there are times where God will be more gracious and He'll start pouring out that grace and allow it to overflow. Go down the path. What did David say in Psalms 23? My cup runneth over. Aren't you thankful for those extra doses of grace? Listen, we don't have to pray for grace. He's already given us a sufficient amount. It's okay to ask for those extra doses. But now here's the thing. When God does not give that extra dose of grace, when God does not allow that cup to run over, remember, He has already given you the amount to go, to give, to do, listen, to obey, to suffer, to give your life. I remember reading different books about martyrs and people who were being tortured and persecuted for their faith. And I wonder, okay, I want to make that stand and say, I'll stand with them. If it ever happens to me, I'm going to stand for God. But I hear what they go through and the different things that happen where they beat them and they keep them alive just so they could beat them the next day. Say, how do they go through that? The grace of God. So I don't have that kind of grace from God, but you're not going through that particular trial. You don't have a need for that kind of grace. Trust me, when the time comes, God will give it. The sufficiency of this grace. According to our calling, and always, the right amount. The reason we can go, the reason we can give, the reason we can obey and walk by faith. Because the Holy Ghost is what we need, and we have what we need through Him to do what God has called us to do. I remember, I just turned 24, so 9 years ago, I was 15 years old. My grandmother had, as a Christmas gift, sent me and my family, my siblings, mother and father, to Disney World for a few days. And while we were there, we went to a particular, five park. We were at one park, and me, my twin, I mentioned I was a twin, right? Amen. There's two of me, praise God. But me and my twin and my sister, we wanted to go and see this over here. My younger brother, he wanted to go over here and see this. And for some reason, there wasn't time to do both. And so my dad said, well, I'm going to take Elijah and go over here. You three go, stick together. You can do your thing, and we'll meet at this specific spot. He said, but if you're done and we are not there, we will find a way you can call me and then we'll figure out where we're going to meet. Now, did you notice my father gave me a specific command? So we go our way. He goes his. We go through, I think it was some kind of 4D theater, and they had, if the water was on the screen, you got wet and different things like that. We had a great time with it. Especially when they pretended bugs went out and you could feel them under your seat before you got up and leave. We got out of that theater and we didn't know where Dad was. We didn't know what to do, where to go. But my father had given me a specific command. And so I start looking around because here's the thing. In order to call him, I have to have a cell phone. Guess who did not have a cell phone at the time? Me, my twin, or my sister. So I began to look around, and there came a man. He was he was eating a vanilla ice cream cone. And I walked up to him. I said, excuse me, sir. He had a gray T-shirt on, wearing a ball cap. I said, excuse me, sir, do you have a cell phone so I can call my dad? Yeah, he handed me his cell phone. I called my dad. We were able to figure out where we were supposed to be. My father gave me a command. I need Abraham provided what I need to do what my father had told me. That's right. Our Father gives us information. We need something to be able to do it because we cannot do it in and of our own power. So the Holy Ghost gives us what we need to do what our Father has commanded us. Grace, the help of the Holy Ghost. In 2019, I took a trip to the Philippines to preach a youth meeting. Spent about 9 days there, a week, 9 days. Preached 2 days in the youth meeting. We did house-to-house Bible studies. We had 12 saved before we even did the youth meeting. And that's the whole reason why I went to the Philippines, was to do that youth meeting. We had 12 saved. We ended up only having one saved in the youth meeting. But it was just an extraordinary time. We went and 7 o'clock in the morning, we're talking about 100% humidity in April, and it feels like it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We went and played basketball with a bunch of kids so we could tell them about Jesus. I had the perfect illustration. Because I'm running up and down this basketball court, and I can't breathe, no inhaler, I'm having trouble. I have to listen. Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for you so that you could be saved. I came and almost died to tell you about it. Amen. So we're in the Philippines. Well, while I'm there, I was getting to the time that it was Wednesday. We were leaving Thursday afternoon to come back. I was preaching the final message Wednesday night. Me and another preacher, I had done the first message on Tuesday. He had done the last message. And on Wednesday, we were switching. 2 hours before we were supposed to go and do this meeting. 80 young people, 80 teenagers going to be at this meeting. 2 hours before we were supposed to leave and do it, I get a phone call, my grandmother passed away. At the same time, I got seriously ill. I ate something, drank something, I don't know, but it was bad, very, very bad. And so here I am, 2 hours from being supposed to preach to these kids. I'm halfway across the world. Grandma's died, and I'm sick as a dog. In fact, I was so sick that when we got to the church, before they started the service, we had to put on pause because I had to go and get sick before I could come in, and we had to start the service. I remember them singing a special, one of the kids sang a special about, and God sees the tears you cry, and I'm just overwhelmed with the emotion that my grandmother's passed away. I mean, I'm sobbing there on the front seat. I'm supposed to get up and preach these 80 teenagers. And I remember the preacher told me to come on. My turn. I was now supposed to do what I was supposed to do. I remember kind of shaking my head as I went to stand up and said, I don't think I can. I don't think I can. You know what I learned that night? It's grace. It's grace. It's grace allows me to do what I cannot do. Preach that message. I have never in all my ministry days, which is obviously very big and very, very many of them. But there's two services that I can take you back, and where I've preached, that is one of them. The Holy Ghost came in and settled on that place. 50 of those 80 young people came forward that night, dedicated their lives to the Lord. We had a fire there, and they were going to write whatever it was that was holding them back. I preached on burning the plow, getting rid of anything that's keeping you from going all out for God. And we had them write whatever it was on paper. They're going to go and symbolically throw that into the fire to represent that they're giving it over. They're burning it up. God had them. 50 of them. Get right with God. Throwing paper left and right. Things they had written down. Things that were holding them back from saying, okay, God, I'll go. Okay, God, I'll get. Okay, God, I'll do. I remember one young man, I'm standing off to the side trying to get a couple pictures, and I remember one young man, he took that paper and he threw it into the fire and he said, die. It's done. It's done. One of the most amazing services I've ever been a part of. And you know what I learned? His grace is sufficient. Listen, church, you can have a mission. You can have a mission emphasis Sunday. You can have the better preacher up here, the right singers, and say all the right words, have all the right messages preached, and hear it perfectly. grace of God, you cannot obey the Lord. You cannot walk by faith. You will not go. You will not give. You will not do what you're supposed to. Listen, I'm here for a few hours and I'm gone. My presence here, my style of preaching, is not going to get you involved in missions the way you should. It's not going to get you to live by faith the way you should. It's not going to get you to bring all these elements of a normal Christian life and make them normal to you. I can't do that. But what's going to make a difference for you personally and your walk with God is not praying for that grace, but realizing you have it. It's here. And thanking Him and praising Him and acting upon the grace. We have a song ready. Come on. For invitation. Bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment if you would. I want to thank you for your attentiveness and your tender hearts. I do not know what God is dealing with you about. I don't know what your need is. But I know the one who can meet that need. I know the one who has the answer. I know the one who's going to win in the end, so you might as well stop wrestling with Him now. Let Him have His way. I don't know what God's telling you to do, whether He wants you to go, whether He wants you to give, whether He just wants you to surrender a specific thing in your life just so He knows you're willing. You're willing. That's what He wants. He wants you to just come and say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Whatever you want. Maybe it's going by faith. Maybe it's obeying Him. Maybe it's claiming the victory. Maybe you need to come and say, God, thank you for that grace and praise Him for it. Did you know praising God for something trumps how you feel about it? Praising God makes promises reality. What's God want you to do tonight? I'm going to pray. She's going to start playing. The altar is open. Listen, the first step you can make towards getting that grace of God and getting right with God in your life is coming down here and making this first commitment of getting this altar. Father, I pray you'd have mercy upon us now in this moment. Holy Ghost, prick hearts, stir us up for you. Lord, if there's something that needs to be done tonight by any individual that's here, Lord, I pray that they would claim the grace, that what they need to get it taken care of. Use this message, Holy Ghost, continue to preach to our hearts.